It is a question, why are you here? And I'm not sure I can give an adequate answer because the real answer is because I love you. And I just believe you when you say you're family, and family is a place you just continuously gravitate back toward and you keep going home. And there's something about your openness, your willingness, your struggle to follow the call of God and to do it in ways that are challenging, sometimes difficult, that attracts me. And if I could ever be helpful in any way, and it doesn't matter in what way, I would do that. I'll be back next week if there was a need. I know you don't need me, but if I could be helpful in any way, I would be here next week. I will always answer your call. Always. I will never fail to pick up that phone when I realize it's you. I'm here because I love you, and I believe you love me. And I think there's something about that that works well for the kingdom. I want you to think about where you're at as a church. And that is at this place again. And it's important to notice again that you're at a familiar place where you have come to a struggle of believing we need a vision. That is not the first time you've come to that belief, we need a vision. And you struggle through that and you begin to articulate what that vision might be. There's always a struggle with that, that's normal, as you try to work with each other because you don't want to discount anybody. And at the same time, you're trying to hear the multiplicity of voices. You have the Spirit of God, but somebody sitting next to you also has the Spirit of God. And as you come together and you try to hear the voice of God in the heart of each one of you, that's not an easy process. And so you come back to this again. So the message this morning is really a message that makes a claim, and that is that vision hurts before it doesn't. Now let's go to the next slide there. And I want you to see vision. When we're talking about vision, that's different than when we're talking about voice. Voice is the conversation. We hear the message of God. But when we're talking about vision, we're talking about something we see. When you look at this woman, and if you look closely, deep into her eyes, you can feel. You can feel the despair. You look at that person, and if you just peer into her, it's almost like that lifeless body that's still breathing. And as this young lady is struggling, and she's in the court system, and she's been to prison, she's going back to prison, she's before judges, and she's before a judge that is an even-tempered, fair-minded, good judge who's had many people in front of him before. And he's had her in front of him many times before. And he knows that one of the things that this lady does is she's very good at manipulating other people. Now you talk about a good manipulator, she's able to manipulate her way through. And so the judge looks and struggles with her, and she cries before the judge as she is weeping these tears, and it's like, give me a chance. But the thing is, you don't know what's really in there. The only thing you know is you look at that and you see a troubled person of addiction, enslaved to addiction, deep addiction. Let's go to the next slide, and that's the same person. Or is it? This is who she's become. It's who she's become. And after she goes through basically a ministry of the church, where the church takes her in and the church welcomes her as family and says, we're going to love you as though you are our own. And she experiences a healing of the soul that leaves the need for addiction starved, and it just goes away. And she's in her right mind, in her best mind, and ends up totally free. And then as she has to clean up her court problems with the law, she does that. And then eventually she has another opportunity to meet that judge before whom she had cried before. And when this judge sees her, he starts crying because he is so touched by what is obviously serious transformation. That is vision. Let's go to the next slide. And it's not just with her. It's with many young women. Let's go to the next slide. This is the journey. This is the journey. This is vision. To look into the eyes of this individual right here and to see that and to be relevant to the journey from one to the other. That is vision. That's the vision of God. It may not have anything to do about how well we sing, and I love the great singing, but this is deep level transformation of a human being. It's recovering the lost. And it is why we are here. Don't ask why we're here. You know why we're here. You know it. And we're here to do this over and over and over again. Now, I want to share with you a story that is very telling when we talk about vision. Because if you talk about vision and you do not have story upon story upon story upon story of transformed lives, your vision is not from God. Just deal with it. It's not. But a vision that's from God will over and over and over again impact the lives of people. But Saul, you know, he's later named Paul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus so that if he found any belonging to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now, as he went on his way, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven shone around him. And falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And he said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you'll be told what you are to do. The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, hearing the voice but seeing no one. Saul rose from the ground, and although his eyes were opened, he saw nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus, and for 3 days he was without sight and neither ate nor drank. Paul had a vision, And he was living out his vision, and his vision had a collision course with God, and God had a different vision. And there was a vision that God had for Paul and others. And God's vision trumped Saul's vision. Aren't you glad? And there's this collision, and the way that Saul gets to where he's going is he has to go through blindness. You do the visioning work, and I think I see. But you know, the real heart of what happens in terms of God's vision, it comes from a certain place, and it is not us thinking, it is us confessing. It's as simple as that. It's humility, not intellect. It's intellectual integrity, not how smart you are or how trained you are. It comes out of the core of humility. I'm acknowledging what I don't see. I see what I don't see. I see what I can't see. And I'm not going to raise these questions that are these facade questions. No. I'm going to say, you know what? I just don't have a clue. I thought I was going in the right direction, and boom! Whoa! What am I going to do? Where am I going to go? What does this mean? What about my prior investment? What about what I've got at stake? I'm going to empty my hands. I'm going to empty myself, and I'm going to say, Lord, help me to see what I'm incapable of seeing. Let me tell you something. The gospel still saves. It still saves. It raises the dead. Now, that's pretty bad. When I watch Greg Gaines, I love Greg Gaines. I love him. And when I listened to him, you know, I told Wanda, I said, you know, I listened to him and that announcement, he just went on and on, and all that energy, and then it's like, I'm done. And it's like, y'all can't handle it anymore, so I'm done. I mean, I look at, for a guy who's sick, that's the way I want to be sick, isn't it? I mean, we're not talking about somebody who's sick. We're talking about somebody who's dead. God can raise from the dead. That is the point of the message we claim we believe. Now, there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias. And he said, here I am, Lord. And the Lord said to him, rise and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas. It's bad already. I don't want to go into anybody's house named Judas. Look for a man of Tarsus named Saul, for behold, he is praying. And he has seen in a vision a man named you come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight. Ananias, you're going to go help this guy see what he's currently blind to. But Ananias said, Lord, I have heard your voice and I will go. Is that what happened? Come on, you know better. He did what we do. Lord, I have heard. I have heard that the major problems in our country can only be solved by this political party. And then somebody else says, no, it's that political party. No, it's this candidate. No, it's that candidate. Well, how in the world can you help people get out of same-sex attraction if you're not a PhD in psychology? How in the world can you help somebody get out of addiction if you're not a trained therapist? I have heard that there's a certain skill set that you have to have. Have you ever thought about the healing power of love? I'm not saying that if you need your tonsils out, love is going to take care of that. I'm not saying that, but you know I'm not saying that. Let's don't play games. You know I'm not saying that. Let me tell you something. There's something the church brings to the table that heals deep in the soul. And you can get your tonsils out and still have a rotten soul. And if you have the best medical care in the country, but you don't have the spirit of Greg, I'd say you're not quite healed. You take my body, take it, but deliver my soul. It makes a huge difference. So he says, Lord, I've heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem, and here he has the authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, go, for he has chosen an instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how much he must suffer on my sake. Ananias, listen, the difficulty you're going to have in going to him is nothing compared to the difficulty that man you're going to is going to experience as he tries to reach out to people that are a whole lot more dangerous than anything you're imagining with him. And so Ananias departed. He entered the house, laid his hands on him, and the rest is history. That's a good story. Great story of vision. And that's the way the Bible is, you know. You look at Peter, who he was before, who he was after. You look at Paul, who he was before, look at who he was after. Look at the people of God, and you see the transformation. The transformation is phenomenal. And God's not through with that yet. Now, I want to give you something to remember. Now, I've got my little toys here. When I describe these as toys, you might wonder, what's that mean? But I need Ben up here. Now, Ben, you got to help me out here. Treat me good. Okay. Now, you're going to treat me good, right?
I'll do it.
Okay. Now, you've seen this.
I haven't done it, though.
But you've seen it.
I've seen it.
Okay. Now, you know what happens if you don't do your part.
You're going to fall.
Right? Don't you know?
I do.
Okay. This is your first time.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. Mm-hmm. Because of the way your arms are, you're going to have a little bit better situation if you extend your arms, because you're going to feel, lock your elbows. Okay. Now, you're going to feel if I'm at risk. Okay?
Whoa.
Oh. Ben, you almost let me down. Come on. You ready? Let me get a little closer. A little closer. Come on. Come on. Oh, pick me up. Pick me up. Pick me up, Ben. Oh, yeah. Oh. Thank you. Okay, now I think I need a couple of volunteers. I think I need two in-shape young men. Who would be, like, Eric, would you be a volunteer? Mr. Menzler, would you be a volunteer? Oh! Put it around your neck. Oh, my goodness. Come here, fellas. Okay, now, what I'm going to do is have you stand right here, Eric. Now, it's like, this is a little confusing for me. You got that on one hand? Now, you're not going to lean back, are you?
No.
Okay. You got this one. Now, this one's going to be a little bit more sensitive. Now, what I want you to do, I want you to get a little space between you. I'm not asking you to lean back or nothing. I'm just wanting you to get a little space between you. Get a little bit more space between you. Okay, just stay right there. All right, let's go to the next slide. Stay. Oh, no. Let's just keep that tension. There you go. Okay, let's go to the next slide. And whenever it comes to vision, there are three elements to vision, and only three. And it doesn't matter where you're talking. It doesn't matter who you're talking to. If you're talking about vision, there are only three elements. You guys keep that, okay? Okay. Three elements to vision. And number one, well, I put in that number one spot, the first thing about vision is the way things are. It's what is. It's the current reality. I want you to keep that tension there. It's the way things are. The second piece of vision is what you want it to be. When you talk about vision, what you're doing is saying, I am dissatisfied with the way things are. I want it to be a bit different. And the vision is your description of what might be. As a result, vision is never the actual reality that's occurring. It's a future reality that is not yet. Vision is a hope for something different. It's a dissatisfaction with the status quo. Always. Always. But the third piece of vision is the most important. Neither one of those two pieces of vision make the big difference. The third piece, let's go to the next slide, is the gap. Because the gap equals tension. Let's say that right here we have the vision. This is what we want to be the case. Right here, we have what is. And in between, we get a little more distance. You see, if we want a grand vision, go ahead, let's give me a grand vision, a big vision. There's a big difference between where we are and where we're going. We want it to inspire people. You get it? Now, the thing is, the problem in vision, the reason, the number one reason that churches talk about vision and don't achieve vision, the number one reason, I'm going to give it to you right now, this is why they don't achieve it, but they always talk about it. Is because they believe that if we could just articulate a vision, we would eliminate the tension in our church. But the vision is what creates it. The churches that do well on vision, why am I here? I'm here because I don't go to a church. It's been a couple of months since I've been to my home church. And it was a couple of months before that. I'm rarely at my home church. I get to taste and experience this church and this church and this church and this church, and I'm able to say to you, listen, I have heard this 1,000 times. And I get to go and collect some of that and bring it to you. And church after church after church after church after church thinks that if they just articulate a vision, then they're going to solve things. But the thing is, what makes a difference in those churches that achieve their vision, here's the difference. The difference is they're good at managing that gap. That's the difference. And sometimes they're not very good at articulating a vision. Let me tell you, you're gonna have to scour a lot of the country to find a person who is as articulate as Dion. You're going to have to work very hard to find somebody as articulate as Dion. And as articulate as he is, he cannot articulate a vision that's going to take your struggle away. And if you think that it's going to, it's not. The problem, if you think back to the young lady that I showed you a picture of, who's one of many, if you think back to that struggle, the problem is not seeing her where she is And it's not even really so much seeing where she could be. It is helping her to get from where she is to where she ought to be. Just for your sake, let's get a little relaxation. Come on in. I'm feeling sorry for you. It does get old, right? It does get old. And so that's the deal. Everybody starts well. But it's the grind. And so Paul himself, you know, God has this vision for Paul. And he has a vision that Paul's going to suffer. What an honor to be able to sacrifice for these people of God and to give yourself and to literally pour yourself out for what Willie yesterday called the most dangerous group of people on the planet, because we believe in a God who creates something out of nothing. And he can do something with us. And so, to pour yourself into that, that's the difficult. Here's the way, usually, that people deal with this tension. There are two ways. There's a third way. Let's go on back to my slide. And just brand that image right there into your mind. Okay? When you have your banner on the wall, when you have your organizational development and blah, 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 and you're efficiently working and all that kind of stuff. Okay, okay, okay. But I have a guy who's offered me $100,000 check on the spot 3 times over the last year if I would step from what I'm doing and lead a nonprofit that he's working with. And he tells me, oh man, we could reach so many people. And you know what I said to him? Bring me 50 people. Show me 50 people where you can take me and show me how your life has touched them in such a way that they are radically different. I want 50 pictures, or I'm not even going to talk about talking. We talking about talking? Or are we serious? I want to see something done. And so, here's what usually happens. What happens is we deal with the tension one way is, if this is the current reality, then what I do is I just become at peace with it. And I say, well, you know, I really had these hopes. I really thought we were going to do this, but I've realized I just need to be at peace. And grace means you just kind of accept the way it is. And so basically you kill the vision, but you eliminate the tension. And we just figure out a way, and we find some excuse for being at peace whenever our numbers are dwindling and dwindling and dwindling. Another way is the other side of that, where what we do is rather than killing the vision and making it as though the current reality is the vision, what we do is we go the other direction and we fake it till we make it. And so we say together, you know, I tell you what, these folks over here, they're just the headache. I mean, that's the reason that we can't do God's will. You know, they're the barriers. And what we're going to have to do is just live as though our vision is true. We're going to kind of impose it on them a bit, but we're going to have to live our vision out, whether they see it or not. And so sooner or later, they'll start acting like us instead of us acting like them. And so as I do that, what do you think's going to happen? You got a mess on your hands. And we think we're visionary? Thank you. I want you to keep this, and I want you to keep this because I'm going to name these bands. Can you put that around you? There you go. There you go. I'm going to name this. This is the Vision Band. So you guys keep these bands and help this church remember that the gap is their friend. Thank you. Thank you so much. Now, what you have to do is you have to recognize that if you're talking about a journey between where we are and where we'd like to be, okay, two different places, that gap in between, the thing is, we think that gap is the problem. And the deal is, that is not the problem. That gap is what we need. It is in that gap that something happens to the people of God. God is doing something. That's where God's vision is imposed on us. And that's where it breaks in. And it's in the work of the gap and the tension between the two that we learn something about ourselves that cause us to depend upon God. It's a dependency. And it means that we reject every other dependency. Subtle or obvious, every other dependency is rejected. We are putting all our weight down and trusting God to hold us up and see us through. And you know what? God knows. He knows when I'm acting like I'm trusting Him and when I'm really trusting Him. He knows. And He will not bless. The path forward for us until we are risking it all and putting it all on the table. And when we do that, what we do is we realize we're trying to raise our children, but God is using our children to raise us. That's the real work. And when that work is done, you'll see God's vision. So, I love you, and I'm grateful for you constantly coming back to this theme of vision. I'm hoping you don't just recycle, but I'm hoping you will embrace the gap. Praise God for the tension and be one of those churches that manages that tension well. And God will give you a gift and you'll be shocked at what it is.